Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, and welcome to the program once more. This is Insights for Eternity with John Edmiston, and we are going through the Gospel of Luke. And today we're in Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 40, and we'll be talking about what it means to be a son of God and a son of the resurrection. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, your Bible has some very puzzling passages, and today we're going to face one of them. And Lord, we ask for your wisdom. We ask that your truth will come forth. We ask that you'll be really encourage us, strengthen us, open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the passage before us and go and grab your Bibles, pens and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. So here we are. It's Luke chapter 20, verses 27 to 40, and Jesus is again facing up to the Sadducees. And the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels and all those kind of things. So they're coming from a very skeptical point of view. And this is what they ask Jesus. There came to him some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife but no children, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for the brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first took a wife and died without children, and the second and the third took her, and likewise all seven left no children and died. Afterward, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had her as wife." And Jesus said to them, "The sons of this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die any more, because they are equal to angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him." Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him any question. So we need to find another passage. Just hang on to your hat. We'll get to that in a minute. So the Sadducees are looking at Jesus with skepticism, and they're sneering at him, and they come up with this ridiculous scenario question. They come up with this puzzle. They thought, aha, this is going to get Jesus. And we run into these people all the time at colleges and universities, and they'll ask you, "Is nothing impossible with God?" You say, "Absolutely." So can God make a rock so heavy that he cannot lift it? And that's a kind of ridiculous circular question. And people always try and trick up pastors and teachers with these made-up questions. And the Sadducees were no different. These games have been going along for thousands and thousands of years. So they have this ridiculous question about seven brothers and whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus answers very wisely and well and totally demolishes them. Now, the Sadducees only believed in the first five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and basically throughout the rest of the scriptures. So he answers them from their own book. He answers them from Exodus chapter 3, where Moses is at the burning bush. And he uses their own scriptures to demolish their foolish and pretentious argument. So that's an example of how God can give you wisdom. When you're out there, when you're witnessing, when you're preaching, God will open up the Bible to you to enable you to demolish the opponents of the gospel. Now, we're going to dive in and have a look at what it means to be a son of the resurrection, what it means to be a son of God, some of the wonderful truth that Jesus exposes for us in this passage. Not only is he defeating the Sadducees, but he's showing us some great truths about the life of the believer. Before we do that, we have to have another look at John chapter 5 and put the two passages together to get a complete picture of what goes on in the resurrection in the life of those who've passed on to glory. So when a Christian passes on to glory, what are they like? What happens to them, etc., etc.? We need to get rid of the idea of purgatory and a few other things along the way. Okay, John chapter 5, verses 21 to 29. Write this down in your notebooks. John 5, 21 to 29. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Whoever does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. So there's a resurrection of evil, and those go off and they're cast into the lake of fire, they're cast into hell until the resurrection of judgment, and that's the second death. But all who believe in Jesus are not hurt by the second death, and we learn that from the book of Revelation. The second death is for unbelievers. It's for those who have cast God behind them and said, no, I don't want anything to do with the living God, the creator of the heavens, the earth, the seas, and the springs of water. So these are the people that are wicked, that don't believe in good and evil, that just believe in their own power and strength and might in the world, and a lot of the rich, powerful, and pompous, and cruel people will be cast down into the lake of fire. Whereas the meek and the lowly, those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have surrendered their lives to God, they will go into the resurrection of life. Okay, let's look at what happens here. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. It does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So there's a resurrection, and we have either going into the resurrection or not. Those who hear the words of Jesus Christ and believe him who sent him, that's other, believe in God. You listen to Jesus, you believe in God, you obey the commandments of Jesus, you walk in righteousness and truth, then you are going in to become a son of God and a son of the resurrection. You all know, I think, 1 John chapter 3, the song that came out in the 70s and 80s, how much God loves us because he has made us to be the children of God. John chapter 1 John 3, 1 to 3. So God has made us to be children of God. We don't know what we'll be like, but we know we're going to be a spiritual being. We're going to be like the angels, and we are going to be children of the living God. We're going from death to life. Now, it says here that when you are born again, when you become a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, when you believe in Jesus, you've gone out of one state called spiritual death, because where we were dead in our trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2, we were dead. We were not able to receive spiritual things. Like when you're heavily asleep, someone will say, you are dead to the world. At least we say that in Australia. I used to sleep very, very heavily, and people would say, he's dead to the world, unaware of the world. Well, a person who is dead in their trespasses and sins is unaware of God. They're unaware of the spiritual world. They cannot understand the scriptures, for they are closed to them, because the scriptures are spiritually discerned. But when someone becomes born again, a born-again Bible-believing Christian, the Holy Spirit comes into them. They go from death to life. They are made alive. They are quickened by the Holy Ghost. They become spiritually alive. They can understand the scriptures. They have a new heart, a new mind, a new thirst for righteousness that they never had before. Before they were selfish, and now they are generous. God has turned them around. They have gone from death to life. And if you're not yet born again today, if you are listening to this program and you think, wow, I'd like to be a child of the resurrection. I'd like to be a son of God. I'd like to go from death to life. I don't want to be cast into that lake of fire. Then you need to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to open up your Bible to John 3:16 that says, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son so that all who believe in him may not perish but may have everlasting life. God gave his only begotten Son to you to give you life. And Jesus is going to tell us what that life is like. And now, when the hour comes, when the voice of God is heard in the graves and there's an almighty resurrection, which side of that resurrection do you want to be on? Do you want to be on God's side, the side of those who are coming to life and reigning and ruling with Christ? Or do you want to be cast into the lake of fire? You need to decide today whether you want eternal life or not. You need to decide whether you want eternal life or not. Now, the number one point of today's passage in Luke is there is a resurrection of the dead. The Sadducee says there is none, and Jesus says, yes, there is. And let's look at that, verse 37. But that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the passage about the bush, where he calls the Lord, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. So, here, God is not the God of the dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not dead. They were alive to God. They were in heaven. They were resurrected spiritual beings. They were there in heaven with God. They had some kind of a resurrection back then, an Old Testament resurrection, and they were worthy of the resurrection. They were the patriarchs of old. And how do we know that? Well, later on, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's there with Peter, James, and John. And who appears with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. They were not dead and buried in a grave somewhere. They had been taken up into the heavenly realms, and they could appear to Jesus and talk with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were not dead. They were living. They were alive to God. And they had a continuous, conscious, spiritual existence. Let's say that again. They had a continuous, conscious, spiritual existence. Now, some people talk about soul sleep. They say when you die, you go into soul sleep. You're kind of unconscious until the final day when Christ returns, and then you wake up again. No. Moses and Elijah were conscious, living beings talking with Jesus. They weren't asleep at all. They were awake, alive, and participating in the plans of the cross, which we saw in the passages on the Transfiguration earlier in this series. So there is a resurrection, and in that resurrection, we are not the beings of the flesh, we're beings of the spirit, and we have spiritual bodies. In 1 Corinthians 15, we see the question asked of Paul, what kind of body will we have then? And Paul says, it's not a physical body. The physical body is just a seed. And from it comes the spiritual body. And so on and so forth. And there's different glories of the spiritual bodies. If you want to have a look at that, have a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 25 to 55, I think. A long explanation that we will have spiritual bodies. This mortal must put on immortal. And so on and so forth. That this corruption must put on incorruption. So we do not have a corrupt, failing body. Now, when we are in heaven, there will be no more backaches, no more toothaches, no more headaches. And there won't be anyone pestering us anymore. We will have immortal bodies, and we shall live forever as sons of the resurrection and sons of God. So there is a resurrection of the dead, and we will be like angels. Now, what does that mean? So I had a look at the Greek word, and the Greek word there is angelion, and it's only used once in the entire Bible. And we have no idea what the definition is, even in the surrounding culture. It's used very rarely. It's a very rare word. And the best guess we've got is we will be of the same nature, the same status as angels. But in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, it says, "Do you not know that we shall judge angels?" You see, angels are the servants of those who will inherit salvation. That's Hebrews 1:14. So the angels serve the sons of God. The sons of God receive an inheritance from the Father. The angels do not receive an inheritance from the Father because they go back and forth as servants doing the Father's business. But we receive an inheritance with Jesus Christ. We are truly sons of the living God. So why don't we marry? It's because let's have a look at it, verses 35 and 36. "But those who are considered worthy to attain to that age and to the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection." Okay, we can't, because we don't die, we don't need to be replaced. Because we don't need to be replaced, we don't need to have children. And because we don't need to have children, we don't need to be in a marriage in heaven. So all those cults that say that so-and-so is a bride of this and a bride of that, in terms of we can take a bride with us into heaven or a husband with us into heaven, they are cults. That is not a biblical thing. We're not going to be married in heaven. Now, when I get to heaven, I will certainly find my wife there with me. I mean, presuming we go at the same time, I hope. But we're getting older. But one day, you know, we will be there. We will recognize each other. I'm sure we will love one another still in the heavenly realms. But we won't be a married couple in heaven. She will be living her spiritual life. I'll be mine. And I'm sure we'll be friends and companions in heaven. But we won't be married to one another in heaven because we're not given in marriage. So that isn't a bond that goes past this life. And when someone dies, they're freed from their marriage. There in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So the marriage is here so that we can have children and so that we can procreate and so that we can have a love and affection in this life. And marriage is a wonderful thing. I'm very grateful for my marriage. But in the resurrection, we will not marry, nor will we be given in marriage. But our friends and our family will be there, and we will recognize them if they have been born again believers in Jesus Christ. We will be eternal beings, and we will not die anymore. The second death will have no power over us. The first death will. The second death will not. We will not die anymore. We will be immortal. This mortal shall put on immortality. And so we will put on the immortal, we'll put on the spiritual, we'll put on the honorable, and so on and so forth. We will be spiritual beings, not physical beings, and we will have spiritual bodies that will have capacities vastly beyond this body. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he can walk through walls, he could travel long distances easily, he could appear and disappear. Our spiritual bodies will be like our physical bodies. They could recognize Jesus. They could see the scars in his side and in his hands. There will be a transformed version of our physical bodies. And I know what some people are going to say. What about people that are eaten by sharks or blown up by atomic bombs? Well, God has a backup copy, believe it or not, stored in the heavenly realms. How do we know that? The angels number the hairs on our head. It says that somewhere in the Sermon on the Mount. God is counting the hairs on our head. He knows our DNA. He knows the ins and outs of who we are, what we are. He's taking count of every word we've ever said. Everything we've done is written in the books of heaven. There is a backup of you and I in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual backup copy. And God presses restore. And there we are. Restored to glory, but restored in a new form, in a restored spiritual body. Because God has known every thought we've had, and our consciousness will continue when we're in heaven. We will not forget about the things down here. We will not become suddenly a very different person, but we will be a spiritual being continuous with the current spiritual being. Jesus' resurrected body was continuous with his old body. He looked like the same old Jesus, and he had the nail marks in his hands and his feet. Will our physical disabilities continue in heaven? No, they won't. The nail marks and the spear marks are the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to remind us of his sufferings for us, and they were retained in the resurrection as a sign of his great glory and redemption. He's the Lamb standing as if slain in the heavenly realms. But we will be healed, we will be whole, and we will not have any disability carrying over to into heaven. The various physical ailments that I have will not be with me, and your various physical ailments will not be with you. The blind will see, the lame will walk, the deaf will hear. And God will give us an abundantly powerful spiritual body full of life and peace and joy. There will be no more pain, no more crying, no more death there in the heavenly realms. And we will not die anymore. We will be like angels and we will be sons of God. Okay, what does it mean to be a son of God? A son of God means that we have an inheritance from God. We are the family of God. We have become brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you can find that in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10. It says that he is able to suffer and all this because he's glad to do it because we are sons of God and brothers of Jesus Christ. We are sons of God. We're brothers of Jesus Christ. He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus is not ashamed to call you a brother or a sister. Even though he's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we become sons of God, we become glorious creatures of God. And it says in the Bible that the sons of God sang for joy. So there are numerous sons of God in heaven serving God around the throne. We don't know much about it, but we will join that layer of heaven known as the sons of God, the sons of the living God. And so we will become people who are eternal in nature. And we'll be sons of the resurrection. In other words, we will be the product of the resurrection. When the resurrection comes, it will produce fruit. It will produce children. And we will be the fruit of that resurrection, the fruit of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because he died for us and he rose from the dead for us. We died with him and we have risen to new life with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What does this have to do with ancestor worship? Well, we don't want to worship our ancestors. There's only one thing we worship, and that is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not to worship angels. It says that in Hebrews chapter 1. And even if your ancestor is like an angel and becomes like a son of God, they're still not worthy of worship. And in Revelation, the final angel that is showing everything to John, at the apostle, and John the apostle bows down at the feet of the angel, and this mighty angel says, don't worship me, worship Jesus, worship God. Don't bow down to the angels. So we're not to bow down to angels, and we're not to bow down to the dead who are like angels, even if they're believers. We are not to worship anyone that has gone on before. We're only to worship the Creator God. We're not to worship ghosts. We're not to worship ancestors. We're not to worship demons. We're not to worship idols. We're not to make shrines to them. They have gone on before to us. No one went round worshiping Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not to say, here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we're going to pray to you, or we're going to seek advice from you. That would have been blasphemy to ask that. No one in the old Jewish culture made an idol out of Abraham and bowed down to it, or if they did, it would have been a blasphemy to that. We're not to have any idols at all. So we are not to do that. When Moses came to the burning bush and God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he wasn't telling Moses to worship his ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses did not worship Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He worshiped the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So by all means, remember your family with affection. Respect your parents, your great-grandparents, and so on down the line. Remember their achievements. Remember who they were. Have respect and affection for your ancestors, but do not worship, revere, or give offerings to your ancestors. And don't fear them, because God is greater than all the spirits that are out there in the spiritual realms. God has given you resurrection power as a believer of Jesus Christ. You are ascended into heaven. You are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, because he has died and you've died with him. He's risen again. You've risen with him. He's ascended into heaven. You've ascended into heaven with him. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. So you don't need to fear the spirit world. You need to pray. You need to trust yourself to God. You need to trust the words of Scripture. And you need to know that if you want to be saved, you need to hear the voice of Jesus. You need to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and you will pass from death to life. You will go from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. And the glory of God will be all over you. And you will become a son of God, a son of the resurrection. You will become equal to the angels, and you will have eternal life. And you will not die anymore if you believe in Jesus Christ and you do good by obeying the commandments of Jesus Christ. You will walk worthy of God in heaven. You'll be worthy of the resurrection, and you will have eternal life. Now, if you're unsure that you've got eternal life, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Father God in heaven, I want to have eternal life. I want to be a child of the resurrection. I want to be a son of God. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to become a spiritual being in the heavenly realms, never to die anymore, full of glory and truth. I confess my sins to you, O Lord God, and ask that my sins be forgiven because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. Forgive my sins, wash me clean, make me a Christian, put the Holy Spirit in my heart. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior right now. I confess my sins. I believe in Jesus. Take me to be your child. Grant me eternal life forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just pray that prayer. I'll cry out to God. Open your Bible. Talk to your pastor. I'll ring into the station. Do whatever you need to do and become a Christian. If you want more information on the basics of being a Christian, just go to globalchristians.org/starterkit. globalchristians.org/starterkit. STARTERKIT, as in starter kit for being a Christian. globalchristians.org/starterkit, and you'll learn all about being a Christian. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, signing off. God bless you all, and may you inherit eternal life and be a child of God. Okay, that's it. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.